He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
6 minutes after 10 o'clock on this Monday, the second day of March. Even as we speak, they're getting ready to bring on Bibi Netanyahu at the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee convention, the huge convention, 16,000 or more strong. This, of course, is on the eve of what I consider the single worst blunder ever by an Israeli politician. Bibi is here in the United States, and he's about to try out the speech that tomorrow he'll jam down the throats of the American people. Why is this speech necessary? Does any sane person listening to my voice right now really believe the United States will sell Israel down the river when it comes to Iran and nuclear weapons? And how jerky, how insulting, how absolutely outrageous is that newspaper ad that ran over the weekend comparing Susan Rice, a key White House aide, to the genocidal maniacs of Africa and the Nazis who perpetrated the Holocaust? It is absolutely beyond the pale. Here, in the run-up to Bibi's speech about 15 minutes ago, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations had this to say to AIPAC. Here's Samantha Power.
Now, as a few of you may have heard, the Prime Minister of Israel is in town. Rumor has it that he may be giving a couple speeches. You may also have heard lately of tension in the relationship between the United States and Israel. Let me today separate out a few different issues: politics, policy, and what the United States does each and every day to combat anti-Semitism around the world and to fight attacks against Israel at the United Nations. We believe firmly that Israel's security and the U.S.-Israel partnership transcends politics, and it always will.
Samantha Powers making a joke about the Prime Minister being here. You hear he's going to make a speech, and she's reassuring the people gathered at the huge AIPAC. It's the most powerful American-Israeli lobbying group. Bibi has just been introduced to what you would expect, a rousing welcome. Here he is, Bibi Netanyahu, live.
Anyone here from California?
Oh, what's this? Come on, Bibi.
Florida.
Enough with the schmoozing.
New York. Well, these are the easy ones. How about Colorado? Indiana. I think I got it. Montana. Texas. You're here in record numbers. You're here from coast to coast, from every part of this great land. And you're here at a critical time. You're here to tell the world that reports of the demise of the Israeli-U.S. relations is not only premature, they're just wrong. You're here to tell the world that our alliance is stronger than ever. And because of you, and millions like you across this great country, it's going to get even stronger in the coming years.
Bibi Netanyahu speaking live to AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Michael Kasson, Howard Kaur, and all the leadership of AIPAC. Thank you for your tireless, dedicated work to strengthen the partnership between Israel and the United States. I want to thank most especially members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans. I deeply appreciate your steadfast support for Israel year in, year out. You have our boundless gratitude. I want to welcome President Zeman of the Czech Republic. Mr. President, Israel never forgets its friends, and the Czech people have always been steadfast friends of Israel, the Jewish people, from the days of Thomas Masaryk at the inception of Zionism. You know, Mr. President, when I entered the Israeli army in 1967, I received a Czech rifle. That was one of the rifles that was given to us by your people in our time of need in 1948. So thank you for being here today.
Bibi Netanyahu speaking on 77 WABC, big speech before APEC. Obviously warmly received by the crowd.
Also here are two great friends of Israel. Former Prime Minister of Spain, José María Aznar. And as of last month, former Canadian Foreign Minister John Baird. Thank you both for your unwavering support. You are true champions of Israel, and you are true champions of the truth.
At this rate, it's going to be a while before he gets to any substance.
I also want to recognize U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Dan Shapiro, for your genuine friendship, Dan, and for the great job you're doing representing the United States and the State of Israel. And I want to recognize the two Rons. I want to thank Ambassador Ron Prosor for the exemplary job he's doing at the UN in a very difficult forum. Thank you. And I want to recognize the other Ron, a man who knows how to take the heat, Israel's ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer.
Ron Dermer is, of course, the person who negotiated with John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, for the stealth visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu to this country.
Ron, I couldn't be prouder to have you representing Israel in Washington. And finally, I want to recognize my wife, Sarah, whose courage in the face of adversity is an inspiration to me.
Presumably now the Prime Minister will dig into the substance of his
remarks. Sarah divides her time as a child psychologist, as a loving mother, and her public duties as the wife of the Prime Minister. Sarah, I'm so proud to have you here with me today, to have you with me at my side always. My friends, I bring greetings to you from Jerusalem, our eternal, undivided capital.
As you know, the proposals for a two-state solution have East Jerusalem going to the Palestinians as their capital.
And I also bring to you news that you may not have heard. See, I'll be speaking in Congress tomorrow.
Same joke as Samantha Power. Oh, yeah, that. The 800-pound gorilla. Pack crowd, APEC, convention going on right now in Washington. Bibi Netanyahu speaking.
Never has so much been written about a speech that hasn't been given. And I'm not going to speak today about the content of that speech, but I do want to say a few words about the purpose of that speech. First, let me clarify what is not the purpose of that speech. My speech is not intended to show any disrespect to President Obama or the esteemed office that he holds. I have great respect for both. I deeply appreciate all that President Obama has done for Israel. Security cooperation, intelligence sharing, supported the UN, and much more, some things that I, as Prime Minister of Israel, cannot even divulge to you because it remains in the realm of the confidences that are kept between an American president and an Israeli prime minister. I am deeply grateful for this support, and so should you be. My speech is also not intended to inject Israel into the American partisan debate. An important reason why our alliance has grown stronger, decade after decade, is that it has been championed by both parties, and so it must remain.
I certainly agree with that.
Both Democratic and Republican presidents have worked together with friends from both sides of the aisle in Congress to strengthen Israel and our alliance between our two countries. And working together, they've provided Israel with generous military assistance and missile defense spending. We've seen how important that is just last summer. Working together, they've made Israel the first free trade partner of America 30 years ago and its first official strategic partner last year.
All right, we have to take an intermission here. We will continue monitoring Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu's speech. We'll come back to him live after the short break. So far, he has come and said what his speech is not. His speech is not meant to disrespect the president, he claims, nor the office of the presidency of the United States, a speech that 48% of the American people disapprove of his making. We shall return to Bibi Netanyahu at APEC. Special coverage right here on 77 WABC.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
It would be alone. But Israel did act. Acted alone to defend itself. In 1981...
All right, Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is speaking where he should have spoken. He is speaking before APAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee Convention, 16,000 strong. He has invoked the Holocaust and no more, never again. As the Prime Minister of the one and only Jewish state, he refuses to allow this existential threat to develop. The threat he sees as Iran's nuclear capability evolving rapidly toward their ability to field a nuclear weapon that they presumably, in the Prime Minister's darkest nightmares, launch on Israel. What Iran would then expect from Israel, he doesn't say. But this invocation of the Holocaust, Iran had nothing to do with the Holocaust. The Palestinians had nothing to do with the Holocaust. You can't, I don't know. You're going to use the Holocaust whenever there's an issue where there's a security issue. You say, never again, the Holocaust. We can't have another Holocaust. Well, I want you to know how I feel about that. He says again that the purpose, the moral obligation he has is to speak up to the dangers while there is still time to change the plan. He ignores the fact that the President of the United States and Secretary of State John Kerry both say that Bibi Netanyahu totally misread the interim agreement under which the five powers plus one and Iran are operating right now in terms of Iran staying its hand when it comes to development of its nuclear weapon. But these are issues that can be debated. Don't get me wrong. These are issues that are absolutely debatable. And if I was the Prime Minister of Israel, as Bibi has been for 9 years, through thick and thin, I would be responding as he is, with nightmares every night, worried about the existence of my country, the one and only Jewish country on earth. I have no bones to pick whatsoever with Bibi's basic mission to protect Israel. What I am saying is that you cannot, as a leader of another state, come into this country, and totally circumvent the way we process issues like foreign affairs and treaty negotiations. It is his disrespect, and he says he means no disrespect. That's bull. That's exactly what he meant. He wanted to stick it in the eye of Obama, who he hates. That's why he grabbed at this sleazy invitation from John Boehner. Why would John Boehner issue a secret invitation? But to embarrass and undermine the president and the position of the United States of America in these sensitive negotiations that are going on right now. Negotiations that, I say again, Bibi totally misread in terms of the interim agreement. All right, let's listen in to more Bibi.
Because America and Israel are more than friends. We're like a family. We're practically mishpucha. Now, disagreements in the family are always uncomfortable. But we must always remember that we are family. Rooted in a common heritage, upholding common values, sharing a common destiny. And that's the message I came to tell you today. Our alliance is sound, our friendship is strong, and with your efforts, it will get even stronger in the years to come. Thank you, APAC. Thank you, America. God bless you all.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
When Netanyahu says he's coming to speak, he says he speaks for all Jews. Does he speak for you?
No, he doesn't speak for me on this. He doesn't at all speak.
Does that bother you when he says he speaks for all
Jews?
Yeah,
I think it's a rather arrogant statement. I think that arrogance does not befit Israel, candidly.
All right, that's Senator Dianne Feinstein. She's on all the intelligence committees. She obviously is a Jewish American. And she, like me, says Netanyahu does not speak for us. And for him to suggest that he speaks for all Jews is arrogant. It is also false. 48% of Americans disapprove of this trip, this speech. Only 30% approve. How does that help Israel? How does that, you think that Bibi Netanyahu is going to change minds and what? What will his goal be? I'm going to get to your calls momentarily, 866-RELDO. I know that a lot of you out there are bursting to disagree with me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But I will not be moved on this. This speech was ill-advised. This was political. And to invoke the Holocaust for your political gains, this isn't about Iran. This is about power politics. This is power politics. This is, we're tougher than you, Obama. We'll show you what happens when you dare stand in our way. This is absolutely intolerable. Imagine if it was any other world leader. Any other world leader. This is bogus. Dianne Feinstein's right. And all those J Street Jews are right, too. You think Bibi's way is the only way? He doesn't even agree with the Mossad and their assessment of Iran's nuclear weapons. 9 years prime minister, and he's running in the race of his life right now. And you don't think he's using this for his own domestic political purposes? Give me a break. And that ad we're going to talk about in the next hour, they compare Susan Rice to the African maniacs who commit genocide and to the Nazis and put her face with skulls and say it's about the Holocaust? Really? I think that people should have to pay a fine when they invoke the Holocaust. All right, this is, what do we got here? Is this Johnny Moore?
This is Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. You wrote, let's see, Johnny Moore, you're an ISIS expert. I tell you what, Johnny, let me talk to you a little later in the program. I'm on a roll here with this BB thing. I'm very, very interested in, obviously, it's a crucial, talking about Holocaust, the Christian Holocaust that's begun in the Middle East. I'll talk to Johnny shortly. Let me take some calls first. All right, this is Vince in New Jersey. What's up, Vince?
Yeah, good morning. You know, I couldn't disagree with you more on just about everything you said. First, let's go to this whole notion that Netanyahu is misreading the preliminary agreement. First of all, how do you believe John Kerry and Obama? Obama told...
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. You're saying that Obama and Kerry are lying about the interim agreement.
Let me finish and I'll tell you. First of
That's what you're saying,
Obama
right?
Obama lied to us on Obamacare. He himself has made...
So you're going to talk about Obamacare? Come on, man. I got no patience for this today. If you want to talk about...
You're talking about politics.
You're saying that your president and your secretary of state are lying and the Israeli prime minister is telling the truth.
I didn't say they were. I said, how do you know they're not? How do you know that none of these things... So you criticize Boehner for bringing in Netanyahu.
I certainly do.
And you said he is circumventing the president's power.
He certainly is.
This is the first president in our history to circumvent the Congress. He does everything he wants to do. You want the respect...
Oh, come on. He's the first president to issue an executive order that the legislative thought was... What about Ronald Reagan's amnesty of immigrants? Come on.
It has nothing to do with the immigrants. It has to do with everything this man does. Everything he's done.
All right, what's your second point, Vince? What's your second point? You sound like a smart person. What's your second point?
My second point is Netanyahu. I read an article where the Israeli press is saying that Netanyahu was threatened by Obama that if he took action against the Iranians... he would shoot down their airplane.
Oh, I looked that up, too. You saw that in Drudge. I looked that up, and it was some marginal publication quoting. Hold it a second. Hold it. It was a report in a secondary Israeli newspaper quoting an unnamed source, and then the Drudge puts it in a headline, so now it's true that America was going to shoot down Israeli planes if they invaded Iran. Come on.
I said, what if it's true?
What if it's true? Yeah, what?
What if it's true? You don't put that past.
What if the Jews are conquering the world? I mean, what if it's true? What if the Martians invade? What if it's true? Come on, what if it's true? Hi, is this Stu? Stu?
Stu.
Hi, Stu. What's up?
You said Bibi hates Obama. Do you feel Obama feels the same about Bibi?
I have no idea if Obama hates Bibi or if Bibi hates Obama. I just can see the evidence with my eyes. I know that Mitt Romney campaigned with Bibi in 2012. I was in Israel.
Right, and
he was just about to get there.
Obama has people campaigning against Bibi in Israel now.
I agree that there are Democratic operatives who are campaigning against Bibi right now in Israel, no doubt about it, as there are Republican operatives campaigning for Bibi in Israel right now. That is a sad fact of life.
So it's just a divisive relationship since Obama became into office.
I think that Bibi Netanyahu picked sides, and most Israeli prime ministers do not pick sides, and that's where I have a beef. My beef is you can't ask American Republicans to support you and ignore American Democrats. America has to support you, and you have to support America. That's I'm an American. I'm a tough Jew, proud Jew. Bibi doesn't speak for me. I'm an American. I want the American president to set the tone and tenure of America's foreign relations. Here's Isaac in Brooklyn. Hi, Isaac.
How are you?
I'm upset.
I hear that you're upset. You're also saying things that make no sense because you're assuming certain things. I have to tell you, I am the son of Holocaust survivors. My mother was in Auschwitz. My father was in assorted labor camps. My grandmother.
You know, I'm the nephew of a Holocaust survivor. What does that? What? The, why does that give you extra credibility to speak about Iran and Bibi and President Obama? What does the Holocaust have to do with this?
Let me answer. I will answer. The bottom line is, when Hitler wrote,
when we bring on the Merchant of Venice, we'll talk about Shylock. Come on.
You're being ridiculous. Because the bottom line is, the guys in Iran have sworn, have kept on saying it consistently. They would annihilate the Jewish country. They would annihilate all their citizens. Jews cannot afford not to take that seriously. So if it means that you're worried about somebody coming after you and destroying you, you don't want to...
Isaac, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Iran is plotting the extermination of Israel? And what would happen to Iran if Iran attempted to exterminate Israel?
Who knows what would happen?
You know what would happen? World War III would happen. That's what would happen. World War III would happen. Israel has more nuclear weapons than anybody, as far as I know, outside of Russia, China, and the United States. What's going to happen? Iran's going to exterminate Israel. So they're what? They're going to launch a missile on Tel Aviv? If there's no deal, they'll have a missile in 3 years or something like that. Then they got to put it on a rocket. Then they got to fire the rocket. I don't know where you're going to test the rocket. You got to fire the rocket at Israel. You're going to have an intercontinental ballistic missile from someplace in the desert of Iran heading the 500 miles to Israel, and Israel's not going to respond and eliminate Tehran and the other big Iranian cities and start this catastrophic, cataclysmic end of humanity nuclear war? Is that what the fear is? Then I got news for you. Then it won't be just a Holocaust. It would be a Holocaust that involves all of humanity. We'd be in play here. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to shut up.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
54, almost 55 minutes before the hour. Let me squeeze in one quick one here, a quick call. Here is Joanne on Staten Island. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Geraldo, you and the Democrat Party are on the side of Iran getting nukes. You hate Israel. You blame Israel for everything. You're a self-hating Jew. You want another Holocaust. You know that's going
to
happen.
You know, Joanne, you seem like a very unpleasant person to me. You seem like a very unpleasant person. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? I want another Holocaust? What kind of life do you lead? Are you nuts? You're nuts. Jesus. I want another Holocaust, ladies and gentlemen. Is that the way you treat people that deviate from the party line? That I want another Holocaust? Because I feel that the American political system has been disrespected by zealots? That I want another Holocaust? Do you see how you cheapen it? It's like the people that throw around racism. This is racist. That's racist. This is racist. Oh yeah, the llamas last week. That was racist. Everything is racist. So racism means nothing. Racism means nothing. Now, the Holocaust, the sacred memory of the 6 million. I want another one of those because I oppose Bibi coming to speak uninvited to the Congress of the United States. I want another Holocaust. And you wonder why so many Americans disapprove of this trip? That insanity? This is a program where everybody is welcome, but you can't come here and slander me with hateful baloney. This is like the ad that compared Susan Rice to the Nazis and the African perpetrators of genocide. Have you no shame? Have you no shame? What?
Nothing.
What?
I'm just smiling at you. I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit.
We'll be back after the news break.
Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Eva Miro
6 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back to 77 WABC. I'm Geraldo, along with Noam Layden. We've been having a spirited debate, at times extremely disagreeable. A strident pro-Netanyahu caller in the first hour accused me of being a self-hating Jew who wants another Holocaust. Why would they say such absolute crap about me? Because I opposed the Israeli Prime Minister's uninvited speech to Congress. So that makes me a self-hating Jew who wants another Holocaust. I tell you what, this is a Jew for whom Bibi Netanyahu does not speak. Nor does Sheldon Adelson. Because I don't need the multi-billionaire's money as so many of those Congress whores do. Using words like self-hating Jew, it's like the people that invoke racism. It is like that. For each and every perceived slight or disagreeing racist, you're a racist. To use the sacred mass massacre of Europe's Jews in World War II by the Nazis as a rhetorical talking point to stifle dissent within the Jewish community is sick. It is grossly distasteful. It's a ploy. It's cynical. It's also ineffective. And it brings to mind that whole McCarthy era, where finally the senator from Wisconsin was busted by this witness that he was trying to persecute. And he said, "Senator, have you no shame? Have you no shame? You can't debate Bibi Netanyahu, the appropriateness of his coming here without invoking the Holocaust and this whole self-hating Jew stuff. This is how low we've sunken. Self-hating Jew, really? Someone ever called me that in a bar, I swear to God, they would regret it. They would regret it. John in Rockland, hey, thank you for calling. I'm going to calm down. What's up?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right. Noam, how am I doing?
You're doing all right, actually.
Geraldo.
Yeah.
You got to calm down, and you got to let the callers be able to speak.
Okay. All right. I'll let the callers make their point. That's a good point. It's a good point. Go ahead.
You're going to let me speak. Okay, good. First of all, I don't give a damn about what Diane Feinstein has to say, because she's got plenty of skeletons in her closet. Second, I don't care what Obama has to say either, because he snubbed this country from the time he got into office. He snubbed Israel since he got into office. And on many occasions, he snubbed Netanyahu. Okay, so come on. Who cares?
You discount, I've given you time now. You discount everyone who opposes Bibi's visit.
Yeah,
right?
I believe that he has a legitimate reason to come there. And that the reason why the Republicans did it is because the Democrats...
All right, now let me ask you a question. Did you see the New York Times today or one of the big papers? Anyway, there's a big ad, and I'll read because the guy who, one of the sponsors of the ad, the editor of Tikkun magazine, he's Rabbi Michael Lerner, said in big headlines, "No, Mr. Netanyahu, you do not speak for American Jews. Most polls indicate that a majority of American Jews and most non-Jews support President Obama's attempt to negotiate a settlement that would prohibit Iranian development of nuclear weapons rather than the Netanyahu approach of undermining those negotiations. And the American people do not want a war with Iran." That's a big headline. So what do you think? Do you think that I'm a self-hating Jew, or the people that oppose Netanyahu self-hating Jews?
I'm not really sure where you're coming from, but I'm glad one thing, that you finally came out and you said that you're no longer a part of the Republican, a part of the conservative movement, that you deviated from that.
I've never been a part of the conservative movement. I'm a Republican, but just because you're a Republican doesn't mean you're a conservative, John. These youngsters. Are these my guests on the line? Okay, so let me bring in, let me start with... A very nice neighbor of mine, who normally I have a very good relationship. He ran for Congress in Bergen County. Shmuley Botich, a rabbi, very prominent, who is behind, I don't know, his group is called This World U.S. And Shmuley and his group put out an ad that has, the picture is very graphic. It's a bunch of skulls And near the skulls is the face of Susan Rice. Susan Rice, the national security advisor to President Obama. And it says, Susan Rice has a blind spot, genocide, both the Jewish peoples and Rwanda's. If we use the word genocide and are seen as doing nothing, what will be the effect on the November election? I don't know what that is. All right, so the meaning of never again, guarding against nuclear Iran. So this is a conflation of the Holocaust with a nuclear Iran. And Shmuley, you there?
Yeah, I am. Hello.
So, Rabbi, what happens when your friends disagree or are horrified by what you've done here?
Well, let me first talk about the ad, and then I'll answer that question. We all have a blind spot for genocide. There's genocide right now in the Central African Republic. There's genocide for Bauer, with whom I am friendly and who I strongly supported for the nomination of U.S. ambassadorship when she was opposed by the Jewish community. It was she who wrote a book called A Problem from Hell. It won the Pulitzer Prize. And there she told a story that in 1994 at a national security meeting.
You're talking about Samantha Power. We were cut off there. Yeah. This is the book by the ambassador Samantha Power. We spoke this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
She wrote a book and she said that in 1994, when the Clinton administration was debating what to do about 300 Africans being hacked to death every hour in Rwanda, Susan Rice, a young staffer at the time, spoke up and said, well, we first have to consider the political implications for the Democratic Party in the midterms. Now, that's a matter of the historical record. I'm not here to regurgitate what Susan Rice did not do in Rwanda or how she politicized genocide. We brought it up because of what she said last week, that the prime minister of a tiny country who is today being threatened with annihilation by Iran. And Iran doesn't just talk. Iran funds terrorism all around the world. They kill people in South America. They kill people in North America. They kill people throughout the Middle East. They fund Hezbollah. They hang gays from cranes. They stone women to death. They're bad people. And they've been hiding this nuclear program for 12 years. So my simple point is, why did Susan Rice say last week that Netanyahu can't even speak? That if he speaks, he'll destroy the relationship with
the U.S. She said that his coming to the country, to this country uninvited, is destructive of the relationship between Israel and the United States.
Yeah, now you put out a tweet yesterday condemning me for the ad. I'm not upset about it. You're a friend of mine. You have a right to condemn me. That's part of free speech. I do something's right. I do something's wrong. I'm far from perfect. My Jewish mother might disagree, but I'm far from perfect. I was not upset at your tweet at all because you're a hero. You actually go to war zones and you defend the defenseless. You have my deep and abiding respect. That's not going to change. So you can condemn me. But what is wrong with Netanyahu speaking? And when does a national security advisor say that if a guy even talks, the relationship is ruined? I consider that a form of bullying. So our ad, you know, the skulls are not a pretty picture. Genocide's never pretty. Those are skulls that I personally
Do you saw. Regret this picture?
You know, I regret.
Do you wish you had done this differently?
Let me answer that question. I'm very connected to the Rwandan genocide. Very connected. I've been there three times. I was the keynote speaker, one of the keynote speakers last April, invited by President Kagame to speak at the 20th anniversary of the genocide. I've been to Antarama, where that picture of the skulls is taken. 5,000 people hacked to death. I've been to Morambi, 50,000 people slaughtered. The world didn't give a damn. The U.S. especially.
Now you have to answer my question, Rabbi.
So I'm doing so. That picture by an ad agency, and I did not object to it. I thought it conveyed the horror of genocide. To the extent that people associate the picture of Susan Rice with any responsibility for Rwanda, of course I regret it, because she wasn't, God forbid, a culprit. We never called her a culprit. We called her what Samantha Powell.
Okay, now stand by. Stand by, Shmuley. You got to give the other side a chance. Got to give the other side a chance. You have Michael Lerner. Michael Lerner is an activist. He's the editor of Tikkun. That's a progressive Jewish interfaith magazine. He's a Berkeley guy. He's also a rabbi at a synagogue in Berkeley. And Rabbi Lerner joins us right now. Rabbi, why don't you make an opening statement? You heard what Shmuley said. Why don't you give me your point of view?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have tremendous love for Shmuley Barteach, a great Jew and a great Jewish leader. But I disagree with him on many issues, and this one in particular. But not about the issue of being invited or not invited. I think that is a mistaken focus that the media has built up into being the center of the controversy. And actually, the ad, we took a full-page ad in today's New York Times.
Right, I quoted from it.
Yeah, and they're signed by some 2,600 people. The ad says that American Jews do not want a war with Iran and want to give President Obama the chance to pursue the direction he is moving to try to work out an agreement that would prevent there being a war and prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. So I believe that we should be, and the signers of the ad, the 2,600 people who signed that ad, believe that that is the issue. And Netanyahu is coming to this country to basically sell a bill of goods that is very similar to what happened with the lead up to the Iraq war, in which the militarists in both parties, but particularly the Republican Party, I have to tell you, played a major role in telling us that there was there were nuclear weapons in Iraq, and that we had to. Well, we ended up spending $1 trillion on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and what we got out of it was actually destabilizing Iraq and allowing the ISIL, Islamic State, to emerge with the weapons that we had brought there into that war. We don't need another war, and being manipulated by the fear that these people in Iran will at some future date, because nobody with any clue as to what's happening there says that they have nuclear weapons or that they are on the verge of developing nuclear weapons. Nobody who knows about the situation. What we're trying to do.
Wait, let me ask you, how do you feel about the invocation of the Holocaust to make the counter argument?
Pardon me?
How do you feel about the invocation of the Holocaust? That if we're not strong, there'll be a Holocaust.
No, look, I want Israel to be secure.
Me too.
I want Israel to be strong.
Me too.
For that very reason, I oppose the policies of the Netanyahu government, as do many Israelis. Oppose the policies of the Netanyahu government.
I got to leave it there, you guys. I'd love if you could hang on. I've got to take a quick break, but I'd love to have you both either hold on or call back. Rabbi Shmuley Butich from Bergen County, New Jersey. Rabbi Michael Lerner from Berkeley, California. Two opposing views showing, I think, very vividly that the Jewish community does not speak with one voice when it comes to its security and the security of the Jewish people around the world.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Okay, welcome back. Both Rabbi Lerner and Rabbi Boteach have stayed on board. Shmuley from Bergen County, a friend to the Rivera family. I love the notes he sends. He's a very sensitive and sensible guy. But I disagree with the ad that he took out. Rabbi Lerner is from the other coast, Berkeley-based. He runs Takun. It's a series of publications. He took out, his group did, 2,600 signatories, a front page, a big ad, not a front page, a big ad in the New York Times, full-page ad. That said, no, Mr. Netanyahu, you do not speak for American Jews. Two polar opposites within the Jewish community, both good men, but both who see things very differently. I asked them to stay to give them a chance to give us, ladies and gentlemen, a kind of a final statement, a concluding remark about how we should see the current controversy. And Shmuley, I'd like you to start. And if you would just tell me, as you give me your final pitch, and I ask you to limit it to like 60, 90 seconds, tell me whether you wish you had done the ad differently.
First of all, let me just say that no country in the world should have to live with an annihilatory threat like Israel does from Iran. It's against the UN Charter. One member state cannot threaten the existence of the other. So why is the United States negotiating with Iran while they're still issuing those threats, at the very least? The Obama administration ought to say to President Rouhani, you must publicly repudiate all intent to destroy and annihilate the Jews, then we will talk to you. I think that's the starting ground. It's embarrassing that that has not happened. As for our ad, Susan Rice said last week that the Prime Minister of Israel can't even speak, and if he does, it's going to fray relationships. Now, he has an obligation after the Holocaust to always defend Jewish life. He has an obligation when he has Hezbollah to the north, Hamas to the west, Syria to the east, Saudi Arabia, I could go on. to take the security of his people seriously. Now, our ad was focused on Susan Rice's politicization of the Rwandan genocide in 1994 and asking, since that happened and is exposed by her successors, Samantha Power, in a Pulitzer Prize-winning book, let her at least be super sensitive to nations that have experienced genocide. Let them speak. Don't put them in the position of Czechoslovakia of 1938, where Britain and France did a deal with Germany carving Czechoslovakia up, and they weren't even allowed to be at the table. So I'm not here to offend Susan Rice, and I'm not here to damage her image. I'm here to – I know that she wants to probably correct the mistake of Rwanda. Please don't repeat it with Israel.
Okay. Shmuley Buteach from Bergen County, the rabbi who ran as a Republican for Congress. Now, Rabbi Michael Lerner, you wrap this up, Michael.
Yes. Really, the issue is here is that we lived for many decades with the Soviet Union having weapons when their leader, when Khrushchev came to this country and said, "We will bury you." We didn't go into a war to destroy their nuclear weapons because we knew that would be a disaster. We don't want. We do not need war as the answer for every potential challenge. As it turns out, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons today, just as Iraq didn't have nuclear weapons when we were instigated into going to fight that war to get rid of their nuclear weapons. Our task is to find a different strategy than the strategy of domination, to win peace through power over others. No, the way to go is a strategy of generosity. And that's why in our ad in the New York Times, and people can read it by coming to tikkun.org, T-I-K-K-U-N.org. Tikkun is a magazine that Tikkun is a Hebrew word that means heal, repair, and transform the world. And in that, we suggest that the United States adopt a strategy of generosity that would start with a global Marshall Plan. The realists have told us, everybody is so against us. Yeah, they're against us when we are approaching them through the strategy of how do we get power over them? How do we control them? Let's approach the world with a strategy of caring through a global Marshall Plan, through showing people in the world that we are not the big bullies who can run over their country with our greater power, but instead change the dynamics in those countries. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about Tikkun Olam.
Six minutes after 11 o'clock, welcome back to 77 WABC. I'm Geraldo, along with Noam Layden. We've been having a spirited debate, at times extremely disagreeable. A strident pro-Netanyahu caller in the first hour accused me of being a self-hating Jew who wants another Holocaust. Why would they say such absolute crap about me? Because I opposed the Israeli Prime Minister's uninvited speech to Congress. So that makes me a self-hating Jew who wants another Holocaust. I tell you what, this is a Jew for whom Bibi Netanyahu does not speak. Nor does Sheldon Adelson. Because I don't need the multi-billionaire's money as so many of those Congress whores do. Using words like self-hating Jew, it's like the people that invoke racism. It is like that for each and every perceived slight or disagreeing racist. You're a racist. To use the sacred mass massacre of Europe's Jews in World War II by the Nazis as a rhetorical talking point to stifle dissent within the Jewish community is sick. It is grossly distasteful. It's a ploy. It's cynical. It's also ineffective. And it brings to mind that whole McCarthy era where finally the senator from Wisconsin was busted by this witness that he was trying to persecute. And he said, "Senator, have you no shame? Have you no shame? You can't debate Bibi Netanyahu, the appropriateness of his coming here without invoking the Holocaust and this whole self-hating Jew stuff." This is how low we've sunken? Self-hating Jew, really? Someone ever called me that in a bar, I swear to God, they would regret it. They would regret it. John in Rockland, hey, thank you for calling. I'm going to calm down. What's up?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right. Noam, how am I doing?
You're doing all right, actually.
Arado.
Yeah.
You got to calm down, and we got to let the callers be able to speak.
Okay. All right. I'll let the callers make their point. Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. Go ahead.
You're going to let me speak. Okay, good. First of all, I don't give a damn about what Dianne Feinstein has to say, because she's got plenty of skeletons in her closet. Second, I don't care what Obama has to say either, because he snubbed this country from the time he got into office. He snubbed Israel since he got into office. And on many occasions, he snubbed Netanyahu. Okay, so, come on. Who cares?
You discount, I've given you time now. You discount everyone who opposes Bibi's visit.
Yeah,
right?
I believe that he has a legitimate reason to come there. And that the reason why the Republicans did is because the Democrats...
All right, now, let me ask you a question. Did you see the New York Times today or one of the big papers? Anyway, there's a big ad, and I'll read, because the guy who, one of the sponsors of the ad, the editor of Tikkun magazine, he's Rabbi Michael Lerner, said in big headlines, "No, Mr. Netanyahu, you do not speak for American Jews. Most polls indicate that a majority of American Jews and most non-Jews support President Obama's attempt to negotiate a settlement that would prohibit Iranian development of nuclear weapons rather than the Netanyahu approach of undermining those negotiations. And the American people do not want a war with Iran." That's a big headline. So what do you think? Do you think that I'm a self-hating Jew, or the people that oppose Netanyahu self-hating Jews?
I'm not really sure where you're coming from, but I'm glad one thing, that you finally came out and you said that you're no longer a part of the Republican, a part of the conservative movement, that you deviated from that.
I've never been a part of the conservative movement. I'm a Republican, but just because you're a Republican doesn't mean you're a conservative, John. These youngsters. Are these my guests on the line? Okay, so let me start with... A very nice neighbor of mine, who normally I have a very good relationship. He ran for Congress in Bergen County. Shmuley Botich, a rabbi, very prominent, who is behind, his group is called This World U.S. And Shmuley and his group put out an ad that has, the picture is very graphic. It's a bunch of skulls. And near the skulls is the face of Susan Rice. Susan Rice, the national security advisor to President Obama, and it says, "Susan Rice has a blind spot, genocide, both the Jewish peoples and Rwandans." If we use the word genocide and are seen as doing nothing, what will be the effect on the November election? I don't know what that is. All right, so the meaning of never again, guarding against nuclear Iran. So this is a conflation of... the Holocaust with a nuclear Iran. And Shmuley, you there?
Yeah, I am. Hello.
So, Rabbi, what happens when your friends disagree or are horrified by what you've done here?
Well, let me first talk about the ad, and then I'll answer that question. We all have a blind spot for genocide. There's genocide right now in the Central African Republic. There's genocide for power, with whom I am friendly and who I strongly supported for the nomination of U.S. ambassadorship when she was opposed by the Jewish community. It was she who wrote a book called A Problem from Hell. It won the Pulitzer Prize. And there she told the story that in 1994 at a national security meeting...
You're talking about Samantha Power. We were cut off there. This is the book by the ambassador Samantha Power. We spoke this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
She wrote a book and she said that in 1994, when the Clinton administration was debating what to do about 300 Africans being hacked to death every hour in Rwanda, Susan Rice, a young staffer at the time, spoke up and said, "Well, we first have to consider the political implications for the Democratic Party in the midterms." And that's a matter of historical record. I'm not here to regurgitate what Susan Rice did not do in Rwanda or how she politicized genocide. We brought it up because of what she said last week, that the prime minister of a tiny country who is today being threatened with annihilation by Iran. And Iran doesn't just talk. Iran
funds terrorism all around the world. They kill people in South America. They kill people in North America. They kill people throughout the Middle East. They fund Hezbollah. They hang gays from cranes. They stone women to death. They're bad people. And they've been hiding this nuclear program for 12 years. So my simple point is, why did Susan Rice say last week that Netanyahu can't even speak? That if he speaks, he'll destroy the relationship with
Israel. She said that his coming to the country, to this country uninvited, is destructive of the relationship between Israel and the United States.
Yeah, now you put out a tweet yesterday condemning me for the ad. I'm not upset about it. You're a friend of mine. You have a right to condemn me. That's part of free speech. I do something's right. I do something's wrong. I'm far from perfect. My Jewish mother might disagree, but I'm far from perfect. I was not upset at your tweet at all because you're a hero. You actually go to war zones and you defend the defenseless. You have my deep and abiding respect. That's not going to change. So you can condemn me. But what is wrong with Netanyahu speaking? And when does a national security advisor say that if a guy even talks, the relationship is ruined? I consider that a form of bullying. So our ad, you know, the skulls are not a pretty picture. Genocide's never pretty. Those are skulls that I personally...
Do you regret this picture?
You know, I regret...
Do you wish you had done this differently?
Let me answer that question. I'm very connected to the Rwandan genocide, very connected. I've been there three times. I was the keynote speaker, one of the keynote speakers, last April, invited by President Kagame to speak at the 20th anniversary of the genocide. I've been to Antarama, where that picture of the skulls is taken. 5,000 people hacked to death. I've been to Morambi, 50,000 people slaughtered. The world didn't give a damn. The U.S. especially.
Now you have to answer my question, Rabbi.
So I'm doing so. That picture by an ad agency, and I did not object to it. I thought it conveyed the horror of genocide. To the extent that people associate the picture of Susan Rice with any responsibility for Rwanda, of course I regret it, because she wasn't, God forbid, a culprit. We never called her a culprit. We called her what Samantha Powell.
Okay, now stand by. Shmuley, you got to give the other side a chance. You have Michael Lerner. Michael Lerner is an activist. He's the editor of Tikkun. That's a progressive Jewish interfaith magazine. He's a Berkeley guy. He's also a rabbi at a synagogue in Berkeley. And Rabbi Lerner joins us right now. Rabbi, why don't you make an opening statement? You heard what Shmuley said. Why don't you give me your point of view?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have tremendous love for Shmuley Barteach, a great Jew and a great Jewish leader. But I disagree with him on many issues, and this one in particular, but not about the issue of being invited or not invited. I think that that is a mistaken focus that the media has built up into being the center of the controversy. And actually, the ad, we took a full-page ad in today's New York Times.
Right, I quoted from it.
Yeah, and they're signed by some 2,600 people. The ad says that American Jews do not want a war with Iran and want to give President Obama the chance to pursue the direction he is moving, to try to work out an agreement that would prevent there being a war and prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. So I believe that we should be, and the signers of the ad, the 2,600 people who signed that ad, believe that that is the issue. And Netanyahu is coming to this country to basically sell a bill of goods that is very similar to what happened with the lead up to the Iraq war, in which the militarists in both parties, particularly the Republican Party, I have to tell you, played a major role in telling us that there was that there were nuclear weapons in Iraq, and that we had to. Well, we ended up spending $1 trillion on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and what we got out of it was actually destabilizing Iraq and allowing the ISIL, Islamic State, to emerge with the weapons that we had brought there into that war. We don't need another war, and being manipulated by the fear that that these people in Iran will, at some future date, because nobody with any clue as to what's happening there says that they have nuclear weapons or that they are on the verge of developing nuclear weapons. Nobody who knows about the situation. What we're trying to do.
Well, let me ask you: how do you feel about the invocation of the Holocaust to make the counter argument?
Pardon me?
How do you feel about the invocation of the Holocaust? That if we're not strong, there'll be a Holocaust.
No, look, I want Israel to be secure.
Me too.
I want Israel to be strong.
Me too.
And for that very reason, I oppose the policies of the Netanyahu government, as do many Israelis. Oppose the policies of the Netanyahu government.
I got to leave it there, you guys. I'd love if you could hang on. I've got to take a quick break. But I'd love to have you both either hold on or call back. Rabbi Shmuley Buttig from Bergen County, New Jersey. Rabbi Michael Lerner from Berkeley, California. Two opposing views showing, I think, very vividly that the Jewish community does not speak with one voice when it comes to its security and the security of the Jewish people around the world.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Okay, welcome back. Both Rabbi Lerner and Rabbi Buttig have stayed on board. Shmuley from Bergen County, a friend to the Rivera family. I love the notes he sends. He's a very sensitive and sensible guy. But I disagree with the ad that he took out. Rabbi Lerner is from the other coast, Berkeley-based. He runs Takun. It's a series of publications he took out. His group did 2,600 signatories, a front page, a big ad, not a front page, a big ad in the New York Times, full page ad. That said, no, Mr. Netanyahu, you do not speak for American Jews. Two polar opposites within the Jewish community, both good men, but both who see things very differently. I asked them to stay to give them a chance to give us, ladies and gentlemen, a kind of a final statement, a concluding remark about how we should see the current controversy. And Shmuley, I'd like you to start. And if you would just tell me, as you give me your final pitch, and I ask you to limit it to like 60, 90 seconds, tell me whether you wish you had done the ad differently.
First of all, let me just say that no country in the world should have to live with an annihilatory threat like Israel does from Iran. It's against the UN Charter. One member state cannot threaten the existence of the other. So why is the United States negotiating with Iran while they're still issuing those threats, at the very least? The Obama administration ought to say to President Rouhani, you must publicly repudiate all intent to destroy and annihilate the Jews, then we will talk to you. I think that's the starting ground. It's embarrassing that that has not happened. As for our ad, Susan Rice said last week that the Prime Minister of Israel can't even speak, and if he does, it's going to fray relationships. Now, he has an obligation after the Holocaust to always defend Jewish life. He has an obligation when he has Hezbollah to the north, Hamas to the west, Syria to the east, Saudi Arabia, I could go on, to take the security of his people seriously. Now, our ad was focused on Susan Rice's politicization of the Rwandan genocide in 1994 and asking, since that happened and is exposed by her successors, Samantha Power, in a Pulitzer Prize-winning book, let her at least be super sensitive to nations that have experienced genocide. Let them speak. Don't put them in the position of Czechoslovakia of 1938, where Britain and France did a deal with Germany carving Czechoslovakia up, and they weren't even allowed to be at the table. So I'm not here to offend Susan Rice, and I'm not here to damage her image. I'm here to – I know that she wants to probably correct the mistake of Rwanda. Please don't repeat it with Israel.
Okay. Shmuley Buttig from Bergen County, the rabbi who ran as a Republican for Congress. Now, Rabbi Michael Lerner, you wrap this up, Michael.
Yes. Really, the issue is that we lived for many decades with the Soviet Union having weapons when their leader, when Khrushchev came to this country and said, "We will bury you." We didn't go into a war to destroy their nuclear weapons because we knew that would be a disaster. We don't want. We do not need war as the answer for every potential challenge. As it turns out, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons today, just as Iraq didn't have nuclear weapons when we were instigated into going to fight that war to get rid of their nuclear weapons. Our task is to find a different strategy than the strategy of domination, to win peace through power over others. No, the way to go is a strategy of generosity. And that's why in our ad in the New York Times, and people can read it by coming to tikkun.org, T-I-K-K-U-N.org, Tikkun is a magazine that, Tikkun is a Hebrew word that means heal, repair, and transform the world. And in that, we suggest that the United States adopt a strategy of generosity that would start with a global Marshall Plan. The realists have told us, everybody is so against us. They're against us when we are approaching them through the strategy of how do we get power over them? How do we control them? Let's approach the world with a strategy of caring through a global Marshall Plan, through showing people in the world that we are not the big bullies who can run over their country with our greater power, but instead change the dynamics in those countries. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about Tikkun Olam.